this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me in the book of Matthew as we continue our study through the book of Matthew. We come to Matthew chapter number 27, and we'll begin our reading this morning in verse number 26. We come to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and today's message is simply titled, They Crucified Him. They Crucified Him. Folks, I want you to know something. The crucifixion is a moment in history where the cruelty of man is met by the love of God. And our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, gives Himself as the sacrifice for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The crucifixion is absolutely necessary, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The crucifixion is absolutely necessary because sin must be paid for. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, pays for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Would you follow along with me as we read God's Word together this morning? We'll study this portion of Scripture and ask God to teach us about Him, to know Him better, to show us our sin and our need of a Savior. We ask God to work through His Word. It is eternal. It is inspired. It is inerrant. Praise God for His Word. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, the Bible says, Then released He Barabbas unto them. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head, and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him, and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there, and set up over His head His accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save Thyself. If Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. But the Bible says in verse 35, they crucified Him. They crucified Him. Now, the whole world believes in Jesus. And most of the world would attest the fact that there were good things about Jesus. And He taught good things like love. And those are things that are very true. But I'll have you know something. Jesus was more than just a good prophet or a good man or an extraordinary teacher. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was God He was God's Son. Jesus Christ was God's plan for redemption. Since the fall of man, man needed a Redeemer. And Jesus is that Redeemer. All through the Old Testament, since the beginning of man, we see the need of a sacrifice. The Bible prepares us for the coming of Christ, and it begins with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They tried to cover their shame with leaves, but a leaf was not sufficient. And when sin entered the human race, the only thing that would begin to cover their shame was the skin of an animal. Innocent blood was shed. It won't be long until Cain and Abel offer sacrifices to the Lord, God. Cain's sacrifice of fruits and vegetables was not acceptable, but Abel's was. It was the shedding of blood, innocent blood. Noah's Ark. God pictures and gives us a testimony of a means by which sinful men could escape the judgment of sin. In an ark, through the door, a beautiful picture of our coming Savior. The nation of Israel, Egypt, has been their captors for some time. God sends Moses, plague after plague, finally, the Passover. Why the Passover? What's the point? Any place that the blood of an innocent animal was pasted on the doors, the death angel passed over, and that home and that firstborn was covered in the blood. Covered in the blood of the Lamb. And death would not enter that home. But any home there was no blood applied, the firstborn of everything in that household were to die. The blood. Jesus is that lamb slain. As a matter of fact, do you remember it? John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus comes up to John the Baptist in a time when he's baptizing, and John the Baptist looks at Jesus and he cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Do you think John understood what Jesus was there to do? Absolutely, yes. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Do you think Jesus understood what he'd come to do? A rich young ruler comes to Jesus by night, and the old hymn says, "Ask him the way of salvation and right." Jesus teaches him that you must be born again. He says something very important. We find in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus knew that he was the lamb slain. Jesus knew that he was the sacrifice for the sin. He knew that he was the gift given from God that men and women and boys and girls and all the human race could be forgiven of their sins and not suffer the judgment of hell. John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles. Guess what? The writer of the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, says to us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. He says, "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." Why? "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." They crucified him. Why? So that Jesus could take our death. He could take our eternal condemnation He died so he should taste death for every man. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Folks, I want you to know something. Since Adam and Eve, all through the history of man, there was a necessity and a need for a Savior and a sacrifice. After Jesus came and lived and died on the cross, was buried and rose again triumphantly the third day. His apostles, the very people who were the closest to him, what was the message that they preached? What was so important to them? With his stripes we are healed, because he tasted death for us. We don't have to taste death for ourselves. Eternal death, separated from God, condemned by our sins. They crucified him. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus was crucified. Why? For my sins. For your sins. Quite frankly, I must just make it personal. And I pray you'll do the same thing. It was for me he died. It was for me that he was crucified. Lots of people played important roles in this crucifixion, but it was for me, and it was for you. Because until Jesus becomes your personal Savior, his sacrifice on the cross does not change your eternal destiny. He died. He was crucified. It's true. But you must personally receive him by faith as your Savior. It was for me that he died. Let's look at this passage of Scripture. And just consider the crucifixion. I don't anticipate any bells and whistles, because I think, quite frankly, we need to just sit and listen and look. Look afresh and new at what Jesus did for you and for me. First of all, we meet up with the Romans. The Romans take over the opportunity to crucify. It was prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. The Jewish people did not crucify, and because the Jews were under Roman control, the Romans had taken away the Jewish people's authority for capital punishment. That's why the scribes and Pharisees and the chief priests and elders, that's why they approached the Romans in order to put Jesus to death in their great rage and jealousy. And the Romans did their job. The world crucified Jesus. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The first thing I want you to think about this morning is the fact that they scourged Jesus. They would have taken Jesus' clothing off of him and put him across a whipping post and stretched the skin of his back tight. And with a whip designed for torture, most people call it and refer to it as the cat of nine tails. It was a whip with strands of leather, with chunks of metal and glass and any other sharp object that would have been lashed across the back of our Savior. Why was he scourged? It was for me. They scourged Jesus, and he delivered him to be crucified. Verse 27, the Bible says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Now we have Jesus in a judgment hall, gathered around by a whole band of Roman soldiers, and we see how nasty they are. The Bible says in verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. I want you to see this. It's awful. What happened to Jesus? He'd just been scourged. After they finished scourging him, most men died being scourged. After they scourged Christ, they put his clothing back on him. and walk him from the scourging post to this judgment type hall, this common place. And what do? Just in time, the wounds have begun to dry some, and they pull his coat off of him again. They stripped him again and put on him a scarlet robe. They grabbed something that they thought kind of resembled something of royalty, because they think, well, if we've got the king of the Jews, and in their mockery and disdain and wickedness, they cover our Savior up with a scarlet robe. The Bible says, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. What do? They put a robe on him. Oh, a king needs a robe. And they take thorns and they plait a crown of thorns. And what do? They put it on his head. I think it's ironic and very appropriate that when Adam and Eve sinned and the ground was cursed for their sakes, that the thorn was part of the curse. And now the curse of man is being borne on the brow of the Savior of all men. And in just a few hours, the Savior that would abolish that curse will die on the cross. What do? They put a crown of thorns on his head and a reed in his right hand. You see it? They just take a regular old stick and they're like, oh, wow, if he's a king, he needs a robe and he needs a crown and he needs a scepter. And they get a common reed and they make fun of this glorious man, this Savior, the very person who died on the cross for their sins in just a short while. You see them mocking him. Verse 29, when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. It's awful. Verse 30, they spit upon him. It's an awful thing to be spit upon. They spit on Jesus. And they took the reed. They ripped the scepter from his hand, the mock scepter from his hand. And what did they do? They smote him on the head. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering? Why was he crucified? It was for me. It was for you. Verse 31, the Romans continue their mocking. And the Bible says after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him. More torture. They removed his cloak again from his lacerated back and took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. They led him away to crucify him. That phrase, led him away, has the sense and the idea of they were rushing him and pushing him and mocking him all the way. As Jesus bore his own cross to Calvary, the Bible says in verse 32, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Jesus had been awake all night. He'd suffered the agony of a trial. And now the scourging and the mocking. And we see the humanity of Christ as they call on someone to bear his cross. It's fascinating to see that this man is named specifically Cyrene, Simon of Cyrene. His children are named a little bit later in other places in the Bible. And we believe that this moment was something, an encounter with Jesus that changed this man's life. The Bible says in verse 33, when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they take him to the place where folks are crucified. And when they take him to the place to be crucified, they gave him vinegar to drink and mingled with gall. This drink was designed so that it would deaden some of the nerves and deaden the lucidness of the crucified. And Jesus being willing to bear our sins on the cross, in his right mind, he refused the drink. The Bible says in verse 35, they crucified him and parted his garments. Can you imagine? How dejecting. And I see this over and over again. For some reason it stands out to me, but they took off his clothes to scourge him and they put them back on. And just as things had time to begin to set up and the blood began to coagulate, they take it off again and they mock him with a scarlet robe. They take it off and put his clothes back on him, and once again they strip him down one more time and put him on the cross and crucify him. And at the foot of the cross, they part his garments. These Roman soldiers, just animalistic, they part his garments. And then they cast lots for his clothing. It's their spoil. All the while, they're fulfilling God's prophecy, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. This was prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 18. And the Bible says that these men, these soldiers, after they've mocked him and crucified him, driven nails into his hands and feet, and suspended him from heaven to earth, the Bible says that they sit down and watch him there. Oh, it's so devastating. The Bible says in verse 37 that set up over his head, his accusation was written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The mocking continues. Oh, how awful. They crucified him. The Romans scourged him, mocked him. They crucified him. They crucified him. Why? The Bible says they crucified him because of my sins. They crucified him so that I could have a means of forgiveness. The promise of everlasting life, they crucified him. The Romans crucified him. Look at the second group of people. Random people walking by crucified him. The random crucified him. Look what the Bible says in verse 39. And they that passed by. There's people passing by. Evidently, the road to Golgotha was a main drag, and this was the Passover week. It was a busy time, and there Jesus hung between two thieves. In verse 39, they that passed by, people not even associated, people who had no idea who that was hanging there, people who really had no understanding what he'd done and how good he'd been, how wonderful Jesus was. They passed by, and with their cold heartedness, they reviled him. They wagged their heads. They wagged their heads in error at the very man who was crucified for their sins. And in spite of their wickedness, would have and will forgive their sins. The Bible says in verse 40, and saying, "Thou that destroyest..." Here's what the passers-by said. They said, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself." What do? They take his words out of context. They take his words and they attempt to use them against him. The temple was in the process of being destroyed. He gave his own life. And he would rise again. He would rise again like he said. And they cry out in verse 40, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." What do they ask him to do? They say, "Come down from the cross. If you're really God, come down there." I'll tell you something. Because he was really God, he stayed on the cross to fulfill the plan of God and pay the price for our sins. He didn't come down. Oh, no. He didn't come down. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross, the old song goes, for you and for me. I'm so thankful that he went to the cross for the Romans. He went to the cross for the random that reviled him and wagged their heads and said, "Come down." He went to the cross for the religious. Look at this third group of people around the crucifixion. The Bible says in verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders. This religious crowd, the people that should have known that he was in every point fulfilling the law that they had attempted to teach. When I look at the chief priests and elders, I'm challenged to know my Bible. I'm challenged to study the Scripture honestly, without religious bias, but in search of the truth and the God of the truth. Because these very people who should have sat back and saw, oh my lands, Isaiah 53 is being fulfilled perfectly at this moment. Psalm 22, what David, our father, wrote, is being perfectly fulfilled at this moment. They cast lots for his garment. It was prophesied. The very people that should have identified in every point the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the fulfillment of everything that God had promised through Abraham. Jesus was the Lamb, as John had said, slain from the foundation of the world. The very people that should have identified it, they were so blinded by their presuppositions and religious foolishness that Jesus Christ, the truth, Jesus Christ, the Word, stood right before them and they couldn't even see it. As a matter of fact, not only did they not see it, but they reviled Him too. I pity folks who call themselves Christians, but revile the Savior, deny the fact that He is God, deny the fact that what He says, when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, revile that truth that there's only one way to heaven, who revile the fact that He gave Himself for the forgiveness of sins. Folks who deny the fact that Jesus teaches plainly there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. I pity the religious who in their own pride and arrogance look at the cross and look at the Savior hanging on the cross and deny that He did that for them. Deny that He did it for me and for you. Jesus died on the cross for the religious. Look what they say. The Bible says in verse number 42, the scribes and chief priests and elders speaking out in mockery, they say, He saved others. You know what? I'll tell you, it's cold. You talk about cold-hearted. He saved others. They say this statement, and on their heart, and in their mind is a lame man walking, a blind man seeing, a dead man alive. He saved others. In spite of all that Jesus had done to help the people around them, they still denied that He was the God-man, that He was the Savior, that He was the Messiah. In spite of all that God had done, He said, they say, He saved others. How cold. Himself He cannot save, if He be the King of Israel. Let Him now come down from the cross. What did they cry for? They cried for the worst thing you could possibly cry for. Had Jesus come down, they and anyone that ever followed them would never have the opportunity to receive forgiveness of sin, but would have to themselves bear their own sin and pay their own price, separated from God in hell forever. They cried out, come down, how foolish, from the cross, and we will believe Him. They said, if He comes down off the cross, we'll believe Him. Foolishness. They would not. Their heart was so cold that their Messiah stood hung before them. They crucified Him. The religious crucified Him. The Bible says in verse 43, as if they've not said enough, they speak up again. They say, He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now. Let God deliver Him now. And then they mock Him. They mock Him further. They says, if He will have Him. So we don't even think God will have Him. And certainly, Jesus took our sin. They said, for He said, I am the Son of God. Can you imagine? I want you to know something. The Romans crucified Jesus. The random crucified Jesus. The religious crucified Jesus. And finally, Jesus is hanging on the cross between two thieves. The Bible says in verse number 38, then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Look what happens. Look what happens. Verse number 44. 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. See these two men hanging on the crosses, one on the right and one on the left of Jesus. And as the Romans mock Him and the random mock Him and the religious mock Him, the thieves condemned to die, what do? They cast the same things in His teeth. They mock Him. Something changes. Something happens. One of those thieves, his heart's changed. Why? He takes a look at the cross. He takes a look at the Savior. He realizes they crucified Him. And he puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Folks, I want you to know something. They crucified Him. Why did they crucify Him? They crucified Him for me. They crucified Him for you. Oh, I love this passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. So we think of the crucifixion of Christ and the passage of Scripture that we've looked at this morning. And in the last few weeks, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 1, the Bible says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, what did Jesus do? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. Why was he wounded? Why was he crucified? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. Why? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why was Jesus crucified? Because God laid the sins of the world on him. It's for me. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted. And he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Why was he stricken? For the transgression of God's people. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Why did they crucify him? He was the offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God would look on this sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, God would look on it and He would be satisfied because He bore our iniquities. Verse 11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. What did Jesus do on the cross? He bore your iniquity. He bore My iniquity. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. And He was numbered with the transgressors. Where did He hang? Between two thieves, two robbers. And the Bible says, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Why did Jesus go to the cross? It was for me. It was for you. Your sin separates you from God. And Jesus was more than just a good man. He was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And to this day, there's only one way to heaven. It's through faith in Christ, who bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God and His Word. Jesus did it for me. There's a song I love the words to. I'm just going to read them to you. But I want you to be reminded that Jesus went to the cross. Why? For me. Can you say that? Say, it was for me. Why leave a heavenly mansion? Why choose a simple stall? Why wander poor and homeless, the King and Lord of all? Why heal a lonely beggar? Why cause the blind to see the light of all creation shining there for me? It was for me He cried. It was for me He died. It was for me He shed His blood upon the tree. It was for me He came. It was for me His shame. For me, oh, praise His name. It was for me. Why stay in Olive's garden? Why spend the night in prayer? Why suffer such betrayal in anguish kneeling there? Why leave His mother crying? Why set Barabbas free? The spotless Lamb of heaven given there for me? Why climb that dreadful mountain? Why suffer agony? Why give His blood a fountain, shed and broken, flowing free? When He walked the road to Calvary, gave His life so willingly, broken there, the rose of Sharon, died for me. It was for me He cried. It was for me He died. It was for me He shed His blood upon the tree. It was for me He came. It was for me His shame. For me, oh, praise His name, it was for me. The King who came from heaven, to the cry, there is no room. Now I must lay His weary body in a cold and borrowed tomb. But the grave, it would not hold Him. Death lost its victory. The risen Lord of glory is living now for me. It was for me He cried. It was for me He died. It was for me He shed His blood upon the tree. It was for me He came. It was for me His shame. For me, oh, praise His name, it was for me. Folks, I'm so thankful that He didn't answer His mockers and come down from the cross. He stayed and He died and gave His life on the cross so that you and I might have everlasting life. All men are sinners. Our sin must be paid for. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins on the cross of Calvary. You must personally pray and receive Jesus by faith as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And because Jesus was crucified for you, you can have everlasting life. Will you pray from your heart to God this simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I accept your sacrifice on the cross. I know you live forever, arisen from the dead. Please forgive my sins. Be my Savior. Come into my heart. Will you trust Christ today? You can. Why? Because He was crucified for you.